Other Vaishnavas are also sitting with Gopinath Acharya.
Yadi Gaur na hoy to, tab ki hoy to, hemone dori tangde. Yadi Gaur na hoy to, tab ki hoy to, hemone dori. राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगते जानातो के
राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगते जानातो के
मधुर गंगा ना माधुरी प्रवेश चतुरी
साधुर बिंदा
ना माधुरी
चतुरी
सायुवती भवेर भक्ति शक्ति होइ तो
प्रजायुवती भावेर भक्ति शक्ति होइ तो सार
यदि गौर होइ तो काबे की होइ तो यमने धोरी कांदे गौरांगर गुण सरल तोरिया
गौरांगर गुण सरल तोरिया
हे भाव सागरे मन गया नाधिकिए कजा राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगते जाना तुके गौरंग बोलिया नागे नो गलिया के मने धोरी रूदे
रंग बोलिया नागे नो गलिया के मने धोरी रूदे
वासुर गिया पशान दिया के मने गड़िया छे कब की होई तो ते माने धोरी तांबे
यदि गौर होई तो कब की होई तो ते माने धोरी
राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगते जाना तुझे
राधा रमण
जगते जाना तुझे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा जगते जाना तो के
श्री श्री गौरंग महाप्रभु की श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की समावेत भक्त वृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद की कलयुग पावन हरि नाम संकीर्तन की नितनाय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
गौर भक्त वृंद
गौरवत्त वृंदा गौरवत्त वृंदा
main titles of the sixth chapter, Madhya Leela, Liberation of Sarvam Bhattacharya. We discussed about this, Dandabhanga Nadi. This was the first theme, Bhattacharya taking Lord Chaitanya to his home from the temple. Then Nityananda and other devotees arrive at Puri and come to the home of Sarvam Bhattacharya. You can see Mahaprabhu lying down and all of them are doing kirtan. Five associates of Mahaprabhu are doing kirtan. Bhattacharya is sitting in a cot watching. Right now he is not yet a devotee. Afterwards his whole mood will be different. Later on. So then Sarvam Bhattacharya inquires about Lord and arranges his stay. Now that inquiry will come now. You will see. Okay. And then we finish up to 66, I think, correct, no? 67 we are going today. And Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam Bhattacharya discuss about the Lord. They both are sitting and discussing about, see, his disciples are sitting also behind. Bhattacharya's disciples are sitting. The other Vaishnavas are also sitting with Gopinath Acharya. Then the next, the fifth section is Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya defeats Sarvam Bhattacharya and converts him into a Vaishnava. It's a big section. 118 to 215 means almost 100 verses. It's a very big section of the chapter and very important section. In that there are some subdivisions like, Chaitanya hearing from Sarvam Bhattacharya and more will come. Lord Chaitanya giving proper explanation of Vedanta. So we will study more eventually as it comes now. Now let us go to this one, 67th verse, I think. Gopinath Acharya and Sarvam Bhattacharya discussion also is important. Let's go to the fourth one. So, Madhya Leela, 6th chapter, 67th verse, alright?
आरदेन गोपीनाथ प्रभुस्थाने गिया शयोत्थान दर्शन कराय लालया
या अच्छा सांझ है या प्लीज.
The next day, Gopinath Acharya took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the early rising of Lord Jagannath.
Mukunda Dattalaya Ayala Sarvabhaumasthane Sarvabhauma Kichutare Balila Vachane.
Gopinath Acharya then took Mukunda Datta with him and went to Sarvabhauma's house. When they arrived, Sarvabhaum addressed Mukunda Datta as follows.
Prakriti Vinita Sanyasi Dekite Sundara.
Prakriti Vinita Sanyasi Dekite Sundara.
Amara Bahu Priti Vade Ihara Upara.
Amara Bahu Priti Vade Ihara Upara.
Yeah.
The sannyasi is very meek and humble by nature, and his person is very beautiful to see. Consequently, my affection for him increases.
Yeah. See, he is a hard-hearted Mayavadi. But even Mahaprabhu's beauty and his humility is attracting even his heart. He is saying, Prakriti Vinita, by nature he is very humble and meek. And his sannyasi is renounced. Dekite Sundara, looks very beautiful. Amara Bahu Priti Bade. Bade. My priti for him is increasing more and more when I see him. Yeah. Because why did Sarvam Bhattacharya consider him humble? He says, although he is a sannyasi, still he is maintaining what name? Brahmacharya name. He is maintaining. He is still in his brahmachari name, therefore he considered him humble, Prabhupada says. The Lord took sannyas from Kesha Bharati in the Bharati Sampradaya, in which the brahmacharis are named as Chaitanya. They are supposed to be assistants to sannyasis. Even after accepting sannyas, Mahaprabhu retained the name Krishna Chaitanya. Like that. There are three prominent names that will come later. Like for example, there is Saraswati, there is Aranya, there is... So such names are there, very high class. So Mahaprabhu could have accepted one of the very sophisticated titles meant for a sannyasi. Instead he maintained Brahmachari title. Same, Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retained the name Chaitanya, meaning a humble servant of a sannyasi. Sarvabhattacharya appreciated this very much. See, we may be thinking that he appreciated the humility of Mahaprabhu's polite speech. So, of course, sometimes people are attracted by the external behavior of somebody also. Somebody is speaking very politely. Like, you ask a devotee, Prabhu, I heard that you are highly qualified. And the devotee says, Prabhu, I have no qualification. What is the use of all the material degrees? Spiritually, I am ignoramus. Like our Sanatana Goswami presented in front of Lord Chaitanya. Correct, no? He said, people think of me to be Pandita. But I am not a Pandita, I am not learned. So that is also humility. But such humility may be attractive to common people. But here Bhattacharya Prabhupada specifically says in the purport, what made him feel Mahaprabhu is humble was first thing that he is maintaining is Brahmachari name. Krishna Chaitanya. He has not changed his name to sannyasi name, so he is humble, he thought. Kon sampradaya sannyasa karyachena grahana Tiba nama ihara shunite hayamana. From which sampradaya?
From which sampradaya has he accepted the sannyas order? And what is his name?
Gopinatha kahe nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Guru ihara Keshava Bharati Mahadhanya. He is saying Keshava Bharati, who gave him initiation, is a fortunate soul. Why? Because Supreme Lord is taking sannyas from him. That means Lord Chaitanya gave him the good fortune of becoming his guru. Like Sandipani Muni, we can say, is very fortunate. Why? Because Krishna went to his ashram and stayed. In this way, the Lord makes Guru fortunate when he becomes somebody's disciple. He makes Yashoda fortunate or Devaki fortunate by being born in their womb. He makes Sudama fortunate by becoming his friend. In this way, Lord makes any jiva fortunate by connecting with them. He made Kubja fortunate by giving her an opportunity to serve him with Chandan, isn't it? In this way, Yamanacharya. Yamanacharya, what is it? Correct. Special master indebted to whom? He is saying that the spiritual master was indebted to the king and Yamanacharya defeated those panditas and saved the guru from the dead. Of course, there both are jiva tattvas, guru and the disciple. Here what is special is, the disciple is Vishnu tattva, Krishna. Correct, na? So, that point has to be highlighted. Although sometimes a disciple may be very glorious, a disciple may bring more fame to the guru, like Prabhupada brought more fame to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So, at the same time, here what is being highlighted is not just a disciple being very popular or famous or influential or powerful. The disciple is Lord himself. So, that is our highlight here. When Lord, any role he takes, he is best in that role. When he becomes disciple, he is the best disciple. He is a husband, best husband. He is a son, he is the best son. And he is a lover, he is the best lover. Therefore, one time when I was going for this Bhagavatam installation programs to house, in one house, suddenly this thought came to me, today let me speak on, Krishna is the best son, best friend, best king, best husband, in this way, so I spoke on that, I realized there is so much to glorify Krishna in that, isn't it? How grateful son he is that he comes to Devaki and Vasudev to Mathura when he was 11 years. And the way he speaks, Revati and Vasudev, they are crying tears. Their hearts are melting. He is behaving as an ideal son of a mother and father. Same with Chaitanya, how he behaved with his mother, Sachimata, isn't it? Same way, all the Dwaraka queens are completely satisfied because Krishna expanded himself into 16,108 forms and satisfied everyone by living in their palace. Is it not true? Best husband. And Sudama, can Sudama get a better friend than Krishna? Can Sudama get a better friend than Krishna? Krishna is the best friend for his devotees. In Dwaraka, the Praja were so happy. When Krishna entered Dwaraka, Praja is glorifying him like anything. They are so happy with him because there can't be a better king than Krishna. There can't be a better son than Krishna. Husband than Krishna. In every respect. Similarly for the gopis, Krishna is the best lover. For the gopas, Krishna is the best friend. For Yashoda, Nanda Yashoda, he is the best son. In this way, he is such a son that even all the gopis of Vrindavan think, I wish, you know, Krishna becomes my son. So in Vrindavan, everybody thought Krishna is our child. Nobody thought Krishna is Yashoda's son. Nobody thought like that. So in this way, when Lord becomes somebody's disciple, that fellow becomes a Bhagyavan Jeev. Who? Guru. Guru becomes Bhagyavan Jeev. But when we should not think when two jivas, for example, Guru also is Jiva Tattva, disciple Jiva Tattva, but they are very special. No matter how powerful disciple may be, we never generally glorify disciple to be better than Guru. Two examples I'll give you. One example is Atmai Pada, Parasmai Pada. That discussion came between Ishwarapuri and Nimai Pandit. In that discussion, Ishwarapuri defeated him. Till date, there is no history of anybody defeating Nimai Pandit. But Nimai Pandit wanted to be defeated by Guru to show even the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes disciple of a Guru, he always will be subordinate to Guru. Therefore, he enacted that pastime. Atmai Pada, Parasmai Pada, that discussion comes. Similarly, our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he said, my spiritual master defeated me. And the Prabhupada laughed. When I went with the paradigm of Desh Prem, my Guru gave another paradigm of Krishna Prem. So he gave me promotion from Desh Prem to Krishna Prem. And he defeated my argument and said, freedom struggle is not the emergency, Krishna consciousness is the emergency. And that hit Prabhupada so hard. Wherever he went, he spoke on that. Krishna consciousness is the emergency. So although we know our Prabhupada has done great work in this world, all over the world, he always considered himself an insignificant subordinate and servant of not only his spiritual master, many of his even God brothers who are like Bhaktiraksha Sridhar Maharaj and others. Prabhupada considered himself a late arriver and everything. So here the discussion is that when Supreme Lord becomes a disciple, that person, whoever is around the Supreme Lord Krishna, mother or, you know, brother or friend or lover or, you know, guru, all of them become fortunate. Therefore, he is saying, Mahadanya. He is saying, Keshabharti is the Mahadanya. Sarvabhauma kahai hara nama sarvottama Bharati sampradaya iho hayana madhyama. So he is saying his name is first class. The only problem is the sampradaya from which he has taken is Bharati sampradaya. It is actually not so reputed. It's Madhyama. So there are three other names he will say in the very soon it's going to come now. He will say, Gopinath kahai hara nahi bahya peksha. Atayeva bada sampradaya ranahi ka peksha.
Gopinath Acharya replied, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not rely on any external formality. There is no need for him to accept the sannyas order from a superior sampradaya.
Gopinath Acharya is wondering, what is he talking? He is Supreme Lord and he is saying inferior sampradaya, superior sampradaya without understanding his supremacy. He is making him look like ordinary man. Huh? Actually, you see, Gopinath Acharya did not want to argue with Swarupa Acharya on the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya. He had no plan for that. But Bhattacharya is kindling the argument right now. Huh? Sometimes you find in your college also, there are some atheistic fellows, you don't want to fight with them. You are a Hare Krishna devotee, you are going your own way. But they come and sometimes, you've seen that? They come to, they provoke you, they ask you some questions, and then you answer, and then they say something, you say something, when you become angry, because he's speaking foolishly, then they will say, what is this? You are studying Bhagavad Gita, how can you be angry? They'll say like that, isn't it? Similarly, here, he, without understanding Mahaprabhu's position, I read it, purport.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya community, which belongs to the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya introduced names for his sannyas disciples, and these are 10 in number. Out of these, the surnames Tirtha, Ashrama, and Saraswati are considered topmost. In the monastery at Sringeri, the surname Saraswati is considered first class, Bharati second class, and Puri third class. A sannyasi who has very nicely understood the slogan Tat Tvam Asi and who takes his bath at the confluence of the rivers Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati is called a Tirtha.
So you have a connection, you see, no? The word Tirtha means actually the holy waters, the Ganges, Yamuna and Saraswati. So one who is taking in the Sangamam, Triveni Sangama, one who regularly takes bath in that and lives in the bank and practices his sannyas, that means called Tirtha.
A person who is very eager to accept sannyas, who is detached from worldly activities, who has no desire for any kind of material facilities, and who is thus saved from repeated birth and death, is known as ashrama. When a sannyasi lives in a beautiful solitary place in the forest and is freed from all material desires, he is called vana. A sannyasi who always lives in the forest and renounces all connection with the world in order to be elevated to the heavenly planets, where he can live in the Nandana Kanana, is called Aranya.
Okay.
One who prefers living in the mountains, engaging in the study of the Bhagavad Gita, and whose intelligence is fixed, is called Giri.
Yeah. See, all these are, so it's very easy to remember. Tirtha means, you know, Triveni Sangamam, there they take bath. And Vana means, you know, they are renounced from the family and they live in a seclusion like that. But those who live in deep forest and they never contact the public, they are called Aranya. Aranya means where lions and tigers also will be living. They go and live in such a kind of forest, deep forest like that. Similarly, Giri. That is also forest. Garden. The Giri means mountain. Correct, no? So these people, see, the mountain also has stability. It has stability. They live in a gufa, they live in the mountain, they study scriptures, they do meditation, they live Giri. And then?
One who prefers living in great mountains, even among ferocious animals, to attain the summit of philosophical speculation, understanding that the essence of this material world is useless, is called Parvata.
See, Giri means like smaller mountain, Parvata is very huge. Similarly, Vana means he has renounced it. But then when you go to Aranya, it's very deep. Correct, no? In this way, two names are there. Go ahead.
A sannyasi who has dipped into the ocean of the Absolute Truth and collected some valuable stones of knowledge from that ocean, who never falls from the regulative principles of a sannyasi, is called Sagara.
Sagara. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat sagaram. He's like that fixed up fellow.
One who has learned the classical art of music, who engages in its culture, and who has become expert and completely aloof from material attachment, is called Saraswati.
Because Brahma, Saraswati, related to Kalas. Correct, now all the Kalas, therefore Saraswati,
Saraswati is the goddess of music and learning. And in one hand, she holds a musical instrument called a Veena. A sannyasi who is always engaged in music for spiritual elevation is called Saraswati. One who has become completely educated and is freed from all kinds of ignorance and who is never unhappy, even in a distressed condition, is called Bharati. One who has become very expert in absolute knowledge, who is situated in the absolute truth and who always discusses the absolute truth is called Puri. All these sannyasis are assisted by brahmacharis who are described as follows. One who knows his real identity and is fixed in his particular occupational duty, who is always happy in spiritual understanding, is called Swarupa Brahmachari. One who completely knows the Brahman effulgence.
You understand the connection, no? He knows his real identity and is fixed in his occupational duty. He knows his Swarupa. So it's called Swarupa Brahmachari. Yeah.
One who completely knows the Brahman effulgence and is always engaged in the practice of yoga is called Prakash Brahmachari. One who has acquired absolute knowledge and who always meditates on the absolute truth, knowledge, the unlimited and the Brahman effulgence, thus keeping himself in transcendental bliss is called Ananda Brahmachari. One who is able to distinguish between matter and spirit, who is never disturbed by material transformations and who meditates on the unlimited, inexhaustible, auspicious Brahman effulgence is a first class learned brahmachari and is named Chaitanya.
Correct. Yeah. In this way, these are all explanations given. The Mayavadis, they have brahmachari names and they have sannyasi names also. And brahmacharis become assistant to sannyasis and travel. And Kesha Bharati was chosen by Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gave a mantra in the years of Kesha Bharati. And the same mantra was given by Kesha Bharati to Lord Chaitanya, which means, first Kesha Bharati became a disciple of Mahaprabhu by accepting the mantra. And then Mahaprabhu, for the social formality, he accepted Kesha Bharati as a sannyas guru. And therefore he accepted this Sri Krishna Chaitanya name. Yeah, go ahead.
When Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was talking with Gopinath Acharya about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas community, he appreciated the first name Shri Krishna, but did not like the surname Chaitanya, which is the name for a brahmachari belonging to the Bharati community. He therefore suggested that the Lord be elevated to the Saraswati community. However, Gopinath Acharya pointed out that the Lord does not depend on any external formality. Gopinath Acharya was firmly convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, and therefore independent of any external ritual or formality. If one wants to engage in pure devotional service, he does not require titular superiority as a Bharati or a Saraswati.
Titular means from the title. Titular. You see, here when you read this purport, it appears that Swarupa Brahmacharya is very learned in the details of the standard of sannyasis. Many of us might not have heard about all this. Although we have heard the name Saraswati or Tirtha or Giri and all these names we have heard, we don't know so much details. So Prabhupada is enlightening us about the details. So when Swarupa Brahmacharya knows these details, that means he himself is a very learned person. He knows the community of sannyasis and what should be the title, and he also knows what is each person's qualification. But at the same time, because he doesn't know one very important fact, that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, he is not aware of it, all this knowledge is considered insignificant. Like one lady in a village saw that there was a lot of thievery and everything in different homes. So immediately a big police van came with dozens of people. And immediately they kind of raided the whole village and captured all the thieves and put them in, and they took them. And the leader of all those thieves was ultimately who himself had come, DSP had come. So the DSP had come and they all stayed for 3-4 days to do this work. And when they were about to leave, this policeman went to one home where they were given food and everything, and they drank water, everything. they were about to leave, the old lady in the home saw DSP, he understood, he's the leader of the group. She said, such a wonderful work you all did in our village. Thank you. I bless you that you become a constable very soon. Like that she was telling. And all the other fellows are looking at each other. What is she saying? The old lady's blessing is useless. Similarly, your Bhattacharya's blessing is useless for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like that only. Who is DSP? Who is constable? Similarly, he is telling, I will make him into Saraswati. Right now he is Bharati. He is Chaitanya now. What is he thinking? Therefore, Gopinathacharya became angry seeing this. Those who are aware of Lord Chaitanya's position, same with Nityananda Prabhu, when he thought Mahaprabhu is carrying a danda, he said, what is this danda for him? First of all, shaving head itself is a big mistake. He shaved his curly locks of hair. We are all already pained. Now he is carrying a danda and pretending to be like a jiva. This is just intolerable for us. And he broke the danda, dandabanganadi, and threw it off. Same with Gopinath Acharya also. He is not accepting that, his brother-in-law's talk is becoming, painful for him. Bhattacharya kaheihara praudayavana kemate sanyasa dharma haibe rakshana.
The Bhattacharya inquired, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his full-fledged youthful life. How can he keep the principles of sannyas?
Nirantara iha ke Vedanta shunaiva.
Nirantara
Vairagya Advaita Marge Pravesha Karayiva.
See, there is a notion amongst the Mayavadis that if somebody hears the Vedanta continuously for a prolonged period of time, and in Vedanta and the Sankhya, one of the things they do is to always, separate the elements and count the elements. Now, why do they do that? If you see, for example, Rava Laddu is very attractive. Very delicious. As soon as you hear about rava laddu, you feel like eating. It has got rava, it has got ghee, it has got sugar, it has elaichi, it has kismis and badam and pista, everything they put and make a rava laddu, isn't it? So it's very fragrant and very delicious. Put in the mouth, it dissolves like butter, isn't it? It's very nice. But when you see rava separately kept, elaichi kept, you don't become attracted to it. So, but when you bring them all together, and then when somebody shows rava laddu, that's very attractive. Similarly, the form of a woman is attractive for man for woman. But you separate the elements like what happened in the liquid beauty story. Prabhupada says, she vomited all into two pots. One pot was for stool, one for vomit. After that, the man, and he saw that he had no more attraction. So when you separate the elements, like you see Pancha Mahabhuta and then Sukshma, when you count the 24 elements and talk about it, that's all. Your attraction is finished. Because the man's body, woman's body, both are made up of same metal elements. You will see that, Pancha Mahabhuta. So therefore, in the Sankhya, when you study, what to speak of Sankhya, in Srimad Bhagavatam Sankhya also you will find, there is some Sankhya given in Srimad Bhagavatam. There is more exhaustive outside. You will find that it talks about the body. If you see, like there are jivas who eat food from the bottom, there are jivas who eat food from top down. Some are eating food down top. Who is eating down top? Tree. Who is eating top down? Human beings like that. And some eat in the side like this, like a dog, like a dog, a cat, like a cow, buffalo, donkey, all of them. Food goes like inside. A human being comes down. He goes. So, the Sankhya sees every living body as a Navadwara Pure Dehi. All the living bodies have 9 holes in their bodies and all the 9 holes are secreting all kinds of dirty emanations from this body. And that is the body in which the Atma is residing or is trapped, like a bird trapped in a cage. So when you see in this manner by counting the elements, immediately you develop a vairagya to get rid of this horrible body. And this body is like, imagine you are kept in a room where there is a lot of stool and urine and garbage and dirty things. and somebody has locked you up in such a room, you'll be thinking, when will they release me? Correct, no? That is how they see this body. But Vaishnava, how he sees the body? Vaishnava sees the body as a shariram kaladharma sadhanam. I can use it as a dharma sadhana in Krishna's service. I can use all my senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha sevanam. So, a Vaishnava actually likes to preserve the body, protect the body, engage the body in Krishna's service. Not only that, in Vaishnava philosophy, the body is considered to be a temple of God. Therefore, we put tilak in 12 places, isn't it? Because the body is a temple, therefore you decorate the body with auspicious markings in different parts of the body. And we clean the body by bathing the body. And also, the bodies of Vaishnavas is worshipable. Like Mahaprabhu says, no? Akshno phalam tvadrisha darshanam hi, tano phalam tvadrisha katra sangam, jihva phalam tvadrisha kirtanam va, sudurlabha bhagavata ki loke. He's telling Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana, you know, the perfection of my eyesight is to see a Vaishnava like you, he says. The perfection of my tongue is to glorify a Vaishnava like you. The perfection of my hands is to embrace a Vaishnava like you. And then he says, sudurlabha bhagavata hi loke. It's indeed very rare to see a Vaishnava like you. So Vaishnava's body is also considered very holy, very auspicious, very worshipable. You can see the outlook of a Vaishnava and outlook of Mayavadi, isn't it? Sometimes amongst Vaishnavas also, we talk about the dirty nature of the material body in the beginning. Why? Like, for example, why Prabhupada told liquid body story in the West? See, liquid body story is most important for us as long as we have material attachment. Once the material attachment has evaporated, then you have to get another understanding. Now that part is over now. So you are materially detached. Now you have to develop attachment to devotees by seeing their bodies as spiritual. Correct, no? That is important also. Otherwise, only detachment is not enough. It will be only one-sided. Correct, no? So therefore, you will find he is telling, I will teach him Vedanta. Kaupinavanta kalubhagyavanta Vedanta vakyeshu sadanamanta. It is said. what the Mayavadis do, wear a kaupin only. Don't wear any more dress in the body. Kalubhagyavanta, what a fortunate soul, he wears only kaupin. Like that he is saying. So, and Vedanta vakyeshu sadanamanta. He is all the time reciting Vedanta. See, the word sada is important for them. Why? Because it requires to thin the mind. The mind has become very plumpy and fatty and stout to enjoy the material existence. So, by repeated hearing of Vedanta and enlightening oneself by hearing it, one has to actually get rid of the anarthas. That is their procedure. Our procedure is to chant the holy name and hear the katha of the Lord. Correct, no? So, therefore, in this way, he is saying that I will give him renunciation by my preaching, and then I will give him entry into Advaita Marga, he is telling. Yeah. I read the purport.
According to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, among sannyasis, the cultivation of Vedanta philosophy helps in becoming detached from sense gratification. Thus, a sannyasi can protect the prestige of wearing a loincloth, kaupina. One has to practice sense control as well as mind control and subdue the six forces of speech, mind, anger, tongue, belly and genitals. Then one can become expert in understanding the devotional service of the Lord and thus become a perfect sannyasi. For that purpose, one must cultivate knowledge and renunciation regularly. When one is attached to material sense gratification, he cannot protect his sannyas order. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya suggested that by the study of Vairagya, renunciation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might be saved from the clutches of full-fledged youthful desires. Yeah.
So, this was Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's intention. Kehena yadi punarapi yoga pattadiya samskare kariye uttama sampradaye aniya. Yeah?
Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again.
Yeah. So, but they wanted to reinstate Mahaprabhu into Saraswati Sampradaya. That was his goal. Because he didn't like the Lord belonging to Bharati Sampradaya or Puri Sampradaya. And he didn't know the position of Mahaprabhu, he says here. Shune Gopinatha Mukunda Duhe Dukhi Haila. Gopinatha Acharya Kichu Kahite Lagila. Okay, now Gopinatha Acharya decided to speak. Hey, this is too much. And let us explain to him what is the position of Mahaprabhu. But Acharya Tumi Hara Najana Mahima. Bhagavata Lakshanera Ihate Sima.
Yeah. My dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree.
Yeah. So he had no idea of the absolute truth Prabhupada says. Huh? And he informed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, okay, he tells about the Vadantita Tattva with this verse. Huh? Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. And Lord has Shadaishwarya Purna. Prabhupada explains all that. So Gopinatha Acharya has emphasized all those six opulences were completely existing in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because here he says here, in this verse here, that Lakshanera Ihate Sima, which means all six is a Shadaishwarya Purna Bhagavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that he is saying.
Tahate Vikhyata Iha Paramayishwara. Agnyasthane kichuna hai vignera gochara.
Yeah.
Gopinatha Acharya continued. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand.
Shishyagana kahe Yeshwara kaha kon pramane. Acharya kahe vignamata Ishwara lakshane.
Yeah.
The disciples of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya retaliated. By what evidence do you conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Gopinatha Acharya replied, the statements of authorized Acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are proof.
Yeah, purport.
There have been many pseudo-incarnations in India who do not present authorized evidence. 500 years ago, the disciples of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, being very learned scholars, were certainly right in asking Gopinath Acharya for evidence. If a person proposes that he himself is God, or that someone else is an incarnation of God, or God himself, he must cite evidence from Shastra to prove his claim. Thus, the request of the Bhattacharya's disciples is quite bona fide. Unfortunately, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to present someone as an incarnation of God without referring to the Shastras. Before an intelligent person accepts someone as an incarnation of God, however, he must ask about the evidence. When the disciples of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya challenged Gopinath Acharya, he immediately replied correctly, we must hear the statements of great personalities in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by statements from many authorized persons, such as Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, Asita and Arjuna. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also established as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by evidence from the same personalities.
You will see Arjuna is quoting evidence. Asito Devalo Vyaso Swayam Chaiva Pravishyame. Devarshi Narada, Asita Devala, Rishi Saral calling you as Supreme, Vyas. Because on that basis we can accept. Plus the scriptures also give statements about Lord's descent. Brahmanyo Devaki Putraha. Like that Chandogya Upanishad gives. And Krishna showed the Vishwarupa Darshanam. And Krishna's 16 symbols which are found in his lotus feet and hands and things like that. So, and also Krishna opened the mouth and showed the whole universe. So, one has to actually be able to prove one's supremacy, without which one should not blindly accept anyone. Shishyaka he Ishwara Tattva Sadhi Anumane. Acharya kahe anumane nahi ishvara jnane. Yeah.
The disciples of the Bhattacharya said, we derive knowledge of the absolute truth by logical hypothesis. Gopinath Acharya replied, one cannot attain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by such logical hypothesis and argument.
Yeah. So Prabhupada writes here that okay, we can read the purports. Maya, regarding Mayavadi says important.
The Mayavadi philosophers in particular make certain hypotheses about the absolute truth. They reason that in the material world we experience that everything is created. If we trace the history of anything, we find a creator. Therefore, there must be a creator of this huge cosmic manifestation. By such reasoning, they come to the conclusion that a higher power has created this cosmic manifestation. The Mayavadis do not accept this great power to be a person. Their brains cannot accommodate the fact that the huge cosmic manifestation can be created by a person. They doubt this because as soon as they think of a person, they think of a person within the material world with limited potency. Sometimes the Mayavadi philosophers will accept Lord Krishna or Lord Ram as Bhagavan, but they think of the Lord as a person having a material body. The Mayavadis do not understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna has a spiritual body. They think of Krishna as a great personality, a human being within whom there is a supreme impersonal power, Brahman. Therefore, they finally conclude that the impersonal Brahman is the supreme, not the personality Krishna.
See, such a very simple language in which Prabhupada is conveying. See, one point he has already conveyed here is, such Mayavadi is saying God is like energy, they don't believe in a person. That's one point clearly he said. Now, second point he is saying, now somebody may say, but God is here coming as a person. They will say, no, the impersonal Brahman is inside his body. And then when he disappears, then he will be ultimately what? Impersonal. So this is kind of notions Mayavadis have, like the Prabhupada very clearly brings out. Go ahead.
However, from the Shastras we can understand that the Brahman effulgence consists of the bodily rays of Krishna. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shvashesha vasudhati vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkaram anantam ashesha bhutam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead Govinda, the primeval Lord, the effulgence of whose transcendental body is known as the Brahma Jyoti. That Brahma Jyoti, which is unlimited, unfathomed, and all pervasive, is the cause of the creation of unlimited numbers of planets with varieties of climates and specific conditions of life. Mayavadi philosophers study the Vedic literature, but they do not understand that in the last stage of realization, the absolute truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. They do accept the fact that there is a creator of this cosmic manifestation, but that is Anumana hypothesis.
See, very important point. Therefore, this 80 and 81, two purports are very important. Because in a very lucid language, Prabhupada explains to us what is Mayavad. You see, what is the difference between a Bhakta's approach and a Mayavadi's approach? Both are searching for the absolute truth. But the Bhaktas put faith in Guru Parampara knowledge, Shabda Praman, which is coming. But Mayavadis adopt speculation, Anumana, they do. Now, what happens when you adopt Anumana to search the truth? Krishna allows them to access him up to Brahma Jyoti. Beyond that he says, you have to have faith in me. If you have faith in me, then I will reveal. And if you don't have no faith in me, the maximum realization you can get is only Brahman. That's all. Yeah. Therefore he says, Atma Ramaya Shantaya. Shanti wale people, I am Atmaram for you. You know, hum chup, tum chup. You do your thing, I will do my thing. Krishna says, I have my leelas with my devotees. I will also not speak. You also don't want to speak. You be in Brahma Jyoti only. You are not looking for a relationship with the Supreme. You are suspicious. You are doubtful whether he has a personality or not. So I will not reveal myself. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. He says, mudo yam nabhi janati. You cannot. So one little example I'll tell you, you will immediately understand it. See, when I, for example, I'm putting my tilak. After putting tilak, before I put my specs on the nose, the tilak has to be wet or dry? Dry. Otherwise, if I put my specs, then that will catch this portion. When I lift it, then that portion will be cut. Correct, no? You all have experience of that. Those who have spectacles, you know. Experience of that, isn't it? So, but what is the problem? Generally, I go to the bathroom, I come out, I have a wet hand. With a wet hand, I keep testing whether it is dry or not. Will it help or not? So what will happen? As soon as with the wet hand I touch to check whether it is dry, how it will appear like? Wet only. I'll think, okay, let me take a little more time. And then I am taking asaman, doing little asaman, wet hand again. Again I am trying. Similarly, with mundane senses, you will not be able to access the absolute truth, which is non-mundane. So, when you try to speculate, the absolute truth will always look like impersonal only for them. They can't go beyond that. But if you want to know this, whether it is dry, then you also have to have a dry hand. If you see with a spiritual outlook, which comes in Guru Parampara, in Shabda Praman, then the absolute truth will reveal itself. Just like, for example, you want to see the sun. You may take a hurricane lamp and search where is the sun, or a torch light and search. But in Gajendra Moksha Prayas, Gajendra says, actually, there is only one light with which you can see the sun. Which light? Sunlight. Nama Atma Pradipayam Sakshine Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasaschetasamapi. He says that with the sunlight, we can see the sun. Similarly, with Krishna's mercy, we can see Krishna. Krishna's mercy comes from Krishna and gives us our sight to see Krishna. Similarly, the sunlight comes from sun only, and with that light only we can see the sun. And there is no other light which can show you the sun. That's one thing. Another thing, Krishna Surya Sama is a very fitting example. Why? Sun will rise in the sky according to his will, not according to any king's will. Like one king told in the dead of the night, midnight, I am the king of this country. Now the sun, oh sun, come up immediately. Do you think sun will come? Nobody can order the sun to come. Similarly, nobody can demand Krishna to reveal his form. But if Krishna is pleased, he will reveal. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used to say, you know, don't try to see Krishna. Try to render service in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Like a boy wants to meet the principal, teachers are not allowing him. He doesn't have to do anything. Just get a state first. That's all. Get a state first rank. And the news reaches the ears of the principal. Then what do you think principal will do? Call that boy, I want to see him. He has done something very wonderful. Correct, no? Immediately he gets to see the principal. Similarly, in a country also, you know, an old man, Anna Hazare or somebody like that. You see, just see, he tried for a corruption-free India. Immediately I heard that, you know, Prime Minister, you know, brought him in a helicopter or something, you know, and wanted to have a meeting with him. Because he is trying to do something for the country. Therefore, naturally, the top man becomes interested. Here is somebody working for the country. Similarly, if somebody is working for the Lord, doing devotion service, like Dhruva Maharaj, small boy, but his devotion service is increasing. He becomes so influential, whole universe became influenced by his devotion, isn't it? And then who came flying in Garuda? Vishnu himself came. Now he got the attention of the Lord. So for getting attention of the Lord, you don't have to go anywhere or do anything, just you have to become serious in devotional service. That verse says, you know, Adasri Krishna Namati Nabaved Grahyam Indriyaihi Sevon Mukhehi Jihvadav Swayameva Swaratyadaha. This verse tells the whole truth. It says that, you know, Grahyam Indriya, with gross senses, don't try to judge Krishna. Don't put Krishna, you know, below your electron microscope and see how Krishna looks like. What is his form? Is it bluish? Or don't try to think I am a bigger fellow and he is tiny, I will see him. No. So we are not drashta. Lord is a drashta. Drashta means he is a seer. And we are seen. So this is our philosophy. Bhaksan says Thakur taught. So we serve him and have hope against hope that one day Lord will come to see my little service that I am rendering. With that humble attitude, then Krishna gives deep realization of his personality to such devotees. And Mayavadis are big ignoramus in that direction. They have absolutely no knowledge about it. Therefore, they get realization about God, but they go maximum up to the Brahman level. They can't go beyond that purposes because they are not taking the Guru Parampara knowledge coming in the disciplic line and they are trying to find out on their own. They will never get to the absolute truth. What to speak of absolute truth? Even the mundane truths also, if you see. For example, a child wants to know who is my father. There is one method called genetic fingerprint. They call it. With that, if you have to see, they say in 800 years, you can find out one probable father, but you will get a batch of 200 men. That means what you have to do? Take the 7 billion population. Who are all fatherable for your age? If your age is 20, what should be your father's age? So below that age, you can eliminate all the men. Correct, no? All the men you can eliminate. That means for which year you are born. Say you are born in, say, 2000, for example. Naturally, your father must be? Yeah, correct. Before that. So like that you eliminate and then you find all over the world in 800 years, they say you can find out 200 fathers. And your father will be one out of that 200. Now my question to them is, how will you know who is the father amongst the 200? Then they are saying, that you check with your mother who is the fellow. That we can check even without finding out the 200. Correct now? Which means ultimately even material truths cannot be ascertained by speculation and anumana. What is because spiritual truths? Therefore, the Shastras say that, you know, Vedas are like mother. And Krishna is the father. So, Vedas only can teach you about the mother. So, Vaishnava Parampara means, you know, Avaroha Panth. And Mayavadis means Aroha Panth. By my speculation, I will find out. Go ahead, complete the purport.
The Mayavadi philosopher's logic is something like seeing smoke on a hill and concluding that there is a fire. When there is a forest fire on a hill, smoke is first of all visible. Since it is known that smoke is created when there is fire, from seeing the smoke on the hill, one can conclude that the fire is burning there. Similarly, from seeing this cosmic manifestation, the Mayavadi philosophers conclude that there must be a creator.
Yeah, see, this analogy is very perfect. Why? Because they think the fire is effulgent and because of the presence of the fire, there is also smoke. So, the material world is compared to smoke and smoke is trouble creating. And fire serves. Like in a chula also. In a chula, which is better? Fire or smoke? Yeah, because fire serves, smoke troubles. So, material world troubles. So, Jagat Nitya. And what is Brahman? Brahman Satyam. And that is like fire. Like that they say. But if you go nearer the mountain, you will find the fire is actually, you know, the fire and smoke are coming from a house. And inside the house, there are people living. And in the top of the mountain, cows and calves are going up, coming down. Some people are, all the details will be there. Go ahead.
The disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted evidence to show that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually the creator of the cosmic manifestation. Only then would they accept him as the supreme personality of Godhead, the original cause of creation. Gopinath Acharya replied that one could not understand the supreme personality of Godhead by guesswork. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita,
this verse comes here. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudhoyam nabijanati loko mamajam avyayam. Yeah.
I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yoga Maya. And so, the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. The Supreme Personality of Godhead reserves the right of not being exposed to non-devotees. He can only be understood by bona fide devotees. Lord Krishna says elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. One can understand me only by the devotional process. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says...
So now Prabhupada will quote all the bhakti quotes. One is Bhaktyam Abhijanati, then Bhaktosimya Sakachetirahasyam Yadatom, Then again, he is also further saying that Arjuna is not a sannyasi, not a Vedantist, not a Brahmana, he was a Kshatriya. But one big qualification Arjuna had, what is it? He is a Bhakta, he is a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that we have to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says, Guru Krishna Prasadipaya Bhakti Lata Bij. And then we can also cite more evidences, he says. But without the mercy of a devotee or mercy of Krishna, one cannot understand what is Krishna, what is Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's confirmed in the next verse. Anumana Pramanana Hai Ishvara Tattva Jnane कृपा बिना ईश्वर रे केह नहीं जाने. सिंपली बाय स्पेक्युलेशन यू विल नेवर बी एबल टू असर्ट इन द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड एंड विदाउट द लॉर्ड्स मर्सी यू विल नेवर बी एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड हिम लाइक दैट ही इज सेइंग. या सो आई कैन रीड दिस पर्पोर्ट. नो ट्रांसलेशन नॉट रिक्वायर्ड, आई सेड इट.
वन कैनॉट अंडरस्टैंड द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड सिंपली बाय एग्जिबिटिंग सम मंडेन लॉजिक. Foolish people are enchanted by magical demonstrations, and when they see a few wonderful things done by mystical power, they accept a magician as the personality of Godhead or an incarnation. This is not the way of realization. Nor should one guess or speculate about an incarnation of God or the personality of Godhead. One has to learn from the bona fide person.
Like Arjuna did from Krishna, correct, no? And then Prabhupada includes Mahajanas also, we should hear from them. Ishwarera Kripalesha Hayataya Hare Seita Ishwara Tattva Dani Bare Pare.
The Acharya continued, if one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality
of Godhead. See, the beauty of the Vaishnava songs by written the Acharyas, as well as the Chaitanya Charitamrita verses, they are all simply, directly, the quotes from the scriptures. Lesha word comes from where? Prasada Lesha Anugrihita Evahi. From there he got this. So, from Bhagavatam verse only, he is telling the same in Bengali language, that's all. Same thing, they don't change anything. They are just repeated. Atapite Deva Padam Bhujadvaya प्रसाद लेशानुगृहीत एव हि जानाति तत्त्वं भगवन् महिम्नो न चान्यमे कोऽपि चिरं विचिन्वन् श्रेय श्रुतिं भक्तिमुदस्यते विभो त्रिष्यन्ति ये केवल बोध लब्धये तेषाम् असौ क्लेशलये वशिष्यते नान्यत् यथा स्थूल तुषावगातीनां. See, these two words are very very important in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. What is Brahma saying? By any amount of speculation, no one can understand you, my Lord. And such a speculation, wild speculation about you, he says it is exactly like, you know, beating an empty husk, he says. By beating an empty husk, can you get some grains? Is it possible? By beating empty husk, can you get anything in this world? Yes, he says, you can get one thing. What is it? Pain in the hands. That's the only thing you can get. You can't get any grains. That's the only advantage by beating it. Similarly, you take your mind and go round and round and round and round, try to understand God on your own, you will never arrive at it. Unless you get a lesha, little bit of mercy of the Lord, either directly from Krishna or from the devotees, like that. So that verse is immediately quoted, you will see here, it has come, same meaning it is. So, yeah, Krishna is Vedeshu Durlabham, but Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. For devotees, it is very easily understandable. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in one purport, Krishna is mystical to Mayavadis and yogis, but Krishna is merciful to devotees. So what is the meaning of that? Mystical means Krishna cannot be understood by Mayavadis and yogis, but he is merciful to devotees means he becomes revealed to the devotees. Like that he says. So Brahma admitted his mistake and he pandita tvamara samana. Ishwarera kripalesha nahi katvamate. अतएव ईश्वर तत्व ना पार जानते. ट्रांसलेशन.
गोपीनाथ आचार्य देन एड्रेस सार्वभौम भट्टाचार्य. यू आर अ ग्रेट स्कॉलर एंड अ टीचर ऑफ मेनी डिसाइपल्स. इनडीड देयर इज नो अदर स्कॉलर लाइक यू ऑन अर्थ. नंदलेस बिकॉज यू आर बिरेफ्ट ऑफ इवन अ पिंच ऑफ द लॉर्ड्स मर्सी, you cannot understand him, even though he is present in your home.
Tomara nahi ka dosha shastra yehi kahe. Panditya Ishwara tatva jnana kabuna hai.
Yeah.
It is not your fault. It is the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by scholarship.
See, the Purport Prabhupada is a very important verse. He says, why? Because even big scholars cannot understand Krishna. Yet they dare comment about the Bhagavad Gita. There are more than 800 commentaries. Huh? So therefore he is saying scholarship is like a bee licking the honey bottle from outside. And they will never be able to taste the Lord without becoming to bhakti. And then he is quoting, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo name deyana bhagunashutena yam ye vaishya vrunate tena labhyaha tasya isha atma vibhrunate tanam swam. The Lord, it says here, very very important verse, it is from Upanishads. It says that even if you give pravachanas, or even if you have heard for a very long time Vedanta scriptures and everything, and even by vast intelligence one may have, one may be Shrutidhar and such qualifications like that. Bahunashutena, he can quote from various scriptures and everything. But yam yevaishavrunatetena labhya, if Lord chooses to give a revelation about himself to someone, only he can attain. Otherwise there is no other possibility, he says. And that is, see, Naisha Tarkena Madhirapaneya. This is also another famous one from Katha Upanishad. That Lord cannot be understood by Tarka Vitarka or Kutarka. Lord cannot be understood. That's what he is saying. Simply by explanations or logic or erudite scholarship, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. However, if one is slightly favored by the mercy of the Lord, the Lord is a little bit pleased with somebody, one can understand him. But who are the candidates eligible to receive the mercy of the Lord? Only the devotees. They alone can understand what is Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord reveals himself to the sincere devotee when he is pleased with his service. Swayameva Suratya, that's what I told you. And that same thing will come in the next verse also.
Sarvabhauma kahe acharya kaha savadhane. Tomate Ishwara kripa itaki pramane.
Hey Gopinath Acharya, you tell me, how do you think that you have attained the mercy of the Lord and I didn't attain? You know, what is the evidence for that? What is the proof that you have received the mercy of the Lord? Like that he is asking. Please speak with savadhana, take care what you are saying. Because he thought, I am a Rajapurohit, I am a scholar, I am so learned and so many, the whole world respects me, my brother-in-law is not respecting me.
Acharya kahe vastu vishaye haya vastu jnana. Vastu tattva jnana haya kripate pramana.
Gopinath Acharya replied, knowledge of the samam bonum, the absolute truth, is evidence of the mercy of the Supreme Lord.
So in Sarvam Bhadrachari informing that Supreme Person of Godhead may not have shown mercy to me, but what is the proof of his having shown to you? Kindly let us know about it. And then in response he is saying that the samam bonum, absolute truth, and his different potencies are identical. Therefore one can understand the substance of the absolute truth by the manifestation of his different potencies. It includes all potencies in one unit. You know the famous Vishnu Purana verse. Vishnu Shakti para prokta kshetrajna kyatata para paras avidya karma sanyaya tritiya shakti rishyate. Correct? Now all the three shaktis are mentioned there. And they are all emanating from one supreme. In 2-3 minutes I am going to conclude. And okay, read a little bit. Babaji, read a little bit. This one, we will. Yeah. No, this one. When one understands, here. When one understands the characteristics of the potency, second line.
When one understands the characteristics of the potencies of the absolute truth, one is aware of the absolute truth. On the material platform as well, one can understand the substance by the manifestation of its symptoms.
For example,
when there is heat, it is to be understood that there is fire. The heat of the fire is perceived directly. The fire may not be visible, but one can search out the fire by feeling heat. Similarly, if one can perceive the characteristics of the absolute truth, we can know that he has understood the substance of the absolute truth by the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah, for example, the same thing the Rigveda also says, Om Tat Vishnum Paramam Padam Sadya Pashyanti Soreha Divi Vachakshuratatam Viprasa Vipanyavo Jagravam Samindate. Correct, no? So that was says same thing. That, you know, one may not see the sun in the sky, you are inside the room, but right now you see the light outside, based on that you can say that there is sun. Similarly, the Brahmanas, though living in the material world, they have 101% faith that there is Vaikuntha. And Lord, our Supreme Lord, Master is there. And He is the one who has expanded the material worlds. They are very confident about it. And in fact, they can not only experience it, they can teach it to others also. Like that it says. So, in the same manner, when you study the potencies of the Lord, which are accessible to you, then you will come to the original source of them. For example, Prabhupada says that, Lord made the sun and we have made a mercury bulb or something. Lord made the moon, we are making dome light. Lord made the oceans, we are making swimming pool. Isn't it? Something very tiny we are able to make. So, and we are complete, Lord is fully complete and we are minute samples. Like a father has certain qualities, the son also gets similar qualities. Prabhupada says in one lecture, if father has diabetes, son also gets diabetes. You have seen that even the history is there. Like that, Krishna's nature is there in the jiva. The original jiva is completely pure. So therefore, we are all minute samples of Krishna, Prabhupada says in one of his lectures. We are all? But being minute, do we have freedom or no freedom? Freedom. But we also, what freedom we have? Minute freedom. But Krishna has unlimited freedom. He is full, so it's unlimited freedom. So like this, one should study. See the potencies, and then you will be able to see. Here there are six opulences in the jivas, in minute amount. So there must be six opulences in the Supreme Lord in completeness. If that is oceanic, this is a drop. So like that he says, one should study, then one will understand. So Prabhupada also recommends, it's not that Shastras have to be accepted blindly. You know that the truth can only come from Shastra. But after hearing Shastra, one should be able to study it scrutinizingly from various angles and ascertain the truth, assimilate the truth and become convinced about the truth. For that we should study the potencies, like that he is saying. So we will stop with this 89th verse. Tomorrow when I come, I start with the 90th. Actually, I am not rushing through this section because I have underlined some of the purports. They are very important. The rest of it will go pretty fast, this section. In this section, these are the most important things. Therefore, I devoted some time. Then tomorrow we may go a little more faster. Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki.